This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, SeavillePodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and a little development, and I am looking at a very long list of items. I hope we... Let's you know what? Let's make it our mission today that we are going to... Because we never do this. We're going to get to everything on this list. Because every time you leave here on a Tuesday, it's like, oh, Brian, man, I'm sorry, we didn't get to those last three things.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, let's get right to it. The Meadow Creek Parkway.
So for the first time since I've been on this program, 3 years, whatever, there's dirt moving on the Meadow Creek Parkway, Coy.
That's amazing. That's the first time ever.
Ever.
Since 1967
when
they first started talking
about it. Come on this program and say.
They are working on
that. They're building a road.
They're actually building a road. That's amazing.
Now, what's interesting about this, unless somebody was standing in front of the bulldozers from Faulkner Construction, I assume they started today. The Daily Progress had a story about the county beginning clearing land for the parkway. So this is starting up near K-Tech on Rio Road.
This is the county's portion.
The county's portion.
So this isn't the big McIntyre Road 250 intersection.
Well, that's what's funny. You know, I called somebody in city government today, and I said, I have a question about the Meadow Creek Parkway. And they said, oh, you mean McIntyre Road Extended. Because they don't want to call it the Meadow Creek Parkway. It's so funny.
Why?
Well, there's some legal reasons. And that's what's going to be interesting about this as we watch this unfold. So the county is starting to stretch its portion of the road down towards Meadow Creek, where they're going to start work on the bridge. That's one of the first things going to build.
Yeah.
Yes. And then eventually it'll continue on the other side of Meadow Creek over to Melbourne Road near Charlottesville High School.
Yeah.
And that's where the county's portion ends.
Right.
And the question is, will it be a road to nowhere? Because we know that citizens they've already hired an attorney. There's a group called the Coalition to Preserve McIntyre Park. And so the next portion of the road is in McIntyre Park and then runs into the interchange project at the 250 bypass, right near the rescue squad and the skate park. So we know that this group has sent around an email to all the local media this week. And the lawyer's name is Andrea Furster, and she has already sent a letter to the Federal Highway Administration warning them that if they proceed with this project, they will use basically all means necessary, pursue all legal remedies, as they like to say, to stop this.
This thing just keeps getting juicier.
So the citizens are concerned about historic resources in McIntyre Park. They want to make sure that those are fully evaluated before the project gets underway.
Yeah.
So the way the federal government has approached this, and I guess state government and city government, is to keep these projects discreet.
You could call it a workaround.
I guess.
We're not building a road. We're building an interchange that just happens to be connected to a road through a park that just happens to be connected to a road up to Rio. It's not a one road, though. It's three different projects. I understand it like this. It's like there was this huge law that said you can't build a house right here on this spot. So then the VDOT came in and all these people came in who wanted to build a house there and said, all right, I'm going to build a window. I'm going to build a door. And Joe, he's going to build a roof. And Mary's going to build a wall. But we're not building a house. They're just going to sort of be connected. It might look like a house, but they're all different projects.
I would think of it differently. What if you said...
You don't like my metaphor?
No, I don't.
I'm crushed.
What if you said, I want to build a house on this piece of land, but I'm only going to assess the impact on half of the footprint of the house before I start building.
There's that too. Yeah.
And then separately, we'll assess the impact on the other side. And we won't start the basement excavation over there until we assess the historic resources.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Coy, if I find some artifact buried underground, I may have to stop building part of my house
That
I already started and go the other direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's sort of what's happening here. Now, if you do those environmental assessments and that review of historic resources and you add all those reviews together, my assumption is you would get a complete understanding of the historic resources through the Meadow Creek Parkway corridor.
Yeah.
So it's not a question of whether they're going to make those assessments, but whether there's some benefit to assessing them as one federalized project.
Right, right.
And for legal reasons, the citizens want to invoke that review to delay and stop the project.
Yeah. This is fascinating, isn't it?
So that's what's happening on the city side.
I've never been totally for it or totally against it. Truly. But I find it so fascinating that this is the story that just keeps on giving.
It does. And it's going to be a big story this year. Again, it has started on the Meadow Creek Parkway, started on the county side up near K-Tech. It's working its way down to Meadow Creek.
So does the county have the money to do their part right now?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
So there will be a road sooner rather than later from Melbourne up to Ryle, up to K-Tech. That runs sort of parallel to Ryo.
If you ask somebody from VDOT, they will say, we're trying to coordinate all three of these projects so they come together nicely at the same time.
Yeah. But they're separate projects.
They're separate projects. And right now, the historic resource review is still underway for both the interchange and what's known as McIntyre Road Extended, the city's portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway.
The county's portion.
The city's portion. City's portion is called McIntyre Road Extended.
What part is called the Meadow Creek Parkway?
The county's portion. Of course.
Now I'm really confused.
When it's all done, we're going to call it the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Yeah. And the Meadow Creek Parkway, actually, the name actually came from a graduate student at UVA in the early 80s, because from 1967 to when it was first proposed publicly for the first time until the early 80s, it was called McIntyre Road Extended. And the idea was to, if you look at 5th Street Extended, was to do that all the way up to 29, all the way up to Ryo Road. You know, a huge four lane with a big median that goes through down from 64 all the way up to close to 29 as they can get it. And this is what's left of that plan. They actually changed the name in the early 80s to make it more palatable to folks who were against it.
Well, if you're following this closely and you're concerned about the city's portion, McIntyre Road Extended, Friday, February 27th is the next meeting on that issue, and you can go to seavilletomorrow.org, look at our calendar, and you can get the details on that. But that relates to the historic resources review of that part of the road. So those meetings will start happening next week, and then we'll see where this potential lawsuit goes.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online at seavilletomorrow.org. Let us proceed next to item number two, the County Resource Management Study. That's a mouthful. What's a County Resource Management Study?
Well, it's...
Sounds expensive.
It's where the consultants come in and they figure out if your government is being as efficient and effective as possible.
Now, y'all started this whole local thing, didn't you? On the school board. The county school board was the first one to do this, like a utilization study.
That's right.
And it was incredibly productive, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we thought it was, and that certainly inspired, I think, city schools, city council, and the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors to investigate similar studies. It turns out the Board of Supervisors hired the same firm that the county school board did. There was some advantage there because this group at Virginia Commonwealth University already had a lot of data and understanding about county government.
And the whole idea is to put some new eyes on what you're doing. Somebody from that's not in your bubble to come in and look in and see what you're doing, and in many places, in many opportunities, they could see something that's fairly obvious that the people who are there doing it might miss.
Well, and just so you don't think I'm the only one who's a source of information on this, I did go look at Neil Williamson's blog. Neil's with the Free Enterprise Forum.
Yeah, he joined us last week.
Closely follows local government. I don't know that he talked about this on your show last week, because I don't think it had come out yet.
No.
But, you know, in general, I think Neil shared the consultant's understanding that overall the theme of the report was that, you know, Albemarle County is run by a professional staff. And what the consultant said was, quote, we were very, very impressed with what we found here in Albemarle County.
Nice.
So it's a general positive theme.
Yeah.
As Neil said, there were no silver bullets found. You know, here's the hole where all the money's going that you need to plug.
Yeah.
So there wasn't something big like that where people could point to. But one of the big themes and what's in our story on SeavilleTomorrow.org in the news center is that they did call for an updated economic development philosophy.
Ooh.
By Albemarle County. Now,
Alan Greenspan is not good enough?
they said the county should develop an economic development policy to attract businesses in order to generate more tax revenue. So this is something, you know, Neil Williamson has spoken at length about in the community. And, you know, one of the things that's happened in the course of that study being done for Albemarle, the board has been revisiting its comp plan related to economic development. And that chapter has been rewritten. And I asked Neil Williamson what he thought about that chapter as it's been rewritten, because that sort of speaks to this goal. And what he said was he thought the rewrite was significantly improved, and that the comp plan revisions are a step in the right direction, but they need to be followed through, obviously. So from the point of view of Neil Williamson representing the business community, he's saying, you know, the comp plan changes are a step in the right direction. I think they would speak to some of the goals that this resource utilization study said as far as Albemarle County putting on paper how it's going to be more business friendly. Put a strategic plan in place that shows how you're going to do that. And what the consultant said was, because that will help you achieve your other goals. So if you want to fund your police department at a different level, if you want to fund public safety and fire rescue at a different level than you are today, you need to attract enough businesses to bring in the tax revenue to make that happen.
So everything doesn't fall on the homeowner's property taxes.
Which is what's, you know, largely happening today.
Yeah. So the consultant, just so I understand this, and I want to repeat it in my words so I get it. The consultant told the county, you're not really doing a good enough job at clearly defining how you're going to attract and develop new business.
Right.
And so you need to work on that.
And interestingly, the point is, I think that work has been underway on a parallel track, and now they have the document in this revised version of the comp plan, which has some stronger language about how the county wants to balance those economic interests and attract businesses here that will complement the community. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Some of the other findings I thought were interesting. They've pulled out a peer group of counties to compare, which had a similar population in Virginia.
Yeah.
So they looked at Spotsylvania, James City, which is down in Williamsburg, Hanover, Stafford, Roanoke. And of those, Albemarle County had, if you take out the revenue sharing with the city, the lowest tax rate in the bunch at an effective rate of 61 cents. Our tax rate is 71 cents, but a dime goes to
the city. Yeah, so it's actually they only have the ability to work with 61 cents.
Spotsylvania was the closest at 62 cents, and I don't know where their budget is heading this year. But I thought that was interesting that they found Albemarle to be a very low tax, as they said, county in the Commonwealth. They also talked about sales tax, and that's something that the Chamber of Commerce has recently put some information out to show that the city and county have been losing ground compared to the peers around us in this region. Other surrounding counties have been seeing an uptick in sales tax revenues, whereas the city and the county have been seeing a decline. But they also had some information there. And what I thought was interesting was the per capita sales tax analysis showed Albemarle, though, still doing pretty well compared to some of those peer localities. So the per capita amount of money you'd raise in sales taxes was still pretty good for Albemarle County. But again, they this is something we wrote a story about a year ago, where a business in Albemarle County might accidentally pay taxes to the city of Charlottesville. And actually the consultants jumped on that and said, that's something, Albemarle, you need to watch for. You need to make sure you have somebody on staff.
How much money do you think that the county has lost by businesses paying the city, thinking they're in the city and they pay the city?
Well,
because the city's not going to correct them, do they?
Here's what the report says. It's estimated that this position can generate between $500,000 and $1 million per year.
This position, what do you mean?
The position of somebody on staff
I see.
Keeping track of this.
$500,000 to $1 million in lost taxes a year.
That's what this report
says. Because businesses are mistakenly paying the city instead of the county.
Now, I think that's a lot more than when we did our research on this issue than staff thought was really happening. And to be fair, the treasurer's offices in both localities work closely together to make sure that each business is on the right ledger. So they compare notes on that front. But, you know, there's another potential source of an error that could help the county.
Buy some new chalk for the schools?
Yeah. Now, here was another one. We'll do one more real quick one on this. Commonwealth, they call this Commonwealth funding per capita. So the amount of money you get from the state per person. Okay, and if you compare Albemarle County.
From Richmond, that comes from Richmond. Okay.
And you take that peer group, Charlottesville, Hanover, James City, Roanoke, Spotsylvania, Stafford, Albemarle County is the lowest at $829 per capita.
So Albemarle County gets less money from Richmond than its peer municipalities across the state.
Right. So take another one at the high end.
Well, why is that?
Spotsylvania gets $1,275 Stafford gets $1,333.
Why is that?
Well, one of the reasons is the revenue sharing agreement.
Well, and
because what sends money to Albemarle County is a formula called the composite index. The composite index, as viewed from Richmond, does not recognize that there's a revenue sharing agreement in the city and the county. So it bases the amount of money we get based on what it thinks we have in Albemarle County.
And it thinks we have...
It thinks we have the revenues based on 71 cents of
a
tax
lot more
rate.
Money than we have.
Right.
Like and almost $20 million more per year than we really have.
So
because we're paying that to the city.
So that formula is not working in the county's favor.
Why can't Richmond factor that in? We can't be the only one doing a revenue sharing agreement.
Well, that's been talked about in previous... Last year's General Assembly talked about a budget amendment to take that into account. The problem, as seen by other delegates in the House of Delegates, is that they would have to cough up money from their locality to fix this problem.
Yeah.
So you'd have to borrow a little bit of money from everybody to fix it, or, you know, raise everyone's taxes.
And the Speaker
to pay for it.
Of the House, who's from the Stafford area, which is getting so much money, probably doesn't want to see that happen.
So that didn't go over too well.
Interesting.
But anyway, that a couple of the findings there, we have a link to the full report up on our news center, and I think the public should take a look at it.
Absolutely.
A lot of good information.
That's fascinating stuff.
The board will be working on this for the next year.
We'll talk with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville tomorrow. A break for local news and weather. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Making love out on Thunder Ride. 20 minutes until 6 o'clock, 5:40 on the clock on the wall. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. My name is Coy Barefoot, and I want to wish you a very, very happy Tuesday, February 17th, 2009. Tomorrow on the program, famed actor Ed Asner will join me live on the program. We'll also talk with one of the nation's leading experts on women's health, Dr. Holly Thacker of the Cleveland Clinic. We're going to be talking about menopause. Let's rejoin the conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to update us about growth and development here in Central Virginia. You can learn more online at seavilletomorrow.org. And we are entering the, before we talk about the budget, Les Sinclair from Z95 called during the break to remind us that March 14th is Pi Day, 3/14.
It's a national holiday.
3.14. So we're going to celebrate this day on, what did we agree on, the 17th?
The 17th. Tuesday we'll observe Pi Day.
Tuesday will be the official observation of Pi Day on Charlottesville Right Now. I'm going to bring a pie and you're going to bring a pie.
And of course, August 8th.
And anybody else who wants to bring a pie, March 17th.
Mm-hmm. And we set the tradition last year that August 8th is also a Pi Day, but we may reschedule it for some other date in the summer.
Yeah,
but
that's
Pi Day,
traveling Pi.
Pi Day is that holiday that happens multiple times in a given calendar year.
Amen, brother.
So
yeah,
we look for multiple opportunities.
Absolutely, because we believe in Pi Day. We treasure Pi Day.
And if you
we esteem Pi Day.
And if you're new to this program and you don't know what we're talking about, go to seavilletomorrow.org/pi. Seavilletomorrow.org/pi.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Look what he just put up in the window. I totally forgot about that. March 17th is St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, but who cares about that? It's Pi Day.
So we'll eat some green pie and celebrate. And if you want to bring up some pie for us to enjoy and talk about your pie, March 17, right here on WINA. The budget process is ensuing.
Speaking of pie.
Yes. How will we slice this pie?
I have in front of me here.
That's a nice transition, Brian. I like it. Nice segue.
I'm getting good at that.
Speaking of pie.
I have in front of me all the details about the county budget.
And a lot of pie charts.
Pie charts. I know what the tax rate proposal is going to be. I know everything.
Wow. How'd you get that?
Unfortunately, I can't say a word about it.
Really?
It's embargoed.
It's embargoed to the media.
2 o'clock tomorrow.
Which, for folks who don't know, the media often gets this stuff ahead of time, and it'll say embargoed until a certain date and time so that they can have a press conference and release it.
And they did that today, and Sean Tubbs on the Charlottesville Tomorrow staff went and attended County Executive Bob Tucker's press conference on the budget. So we have some good information about it. Look for a story on our website tonight.
So
tomorrow.
Everything goes public tomorrow at 2?
Yeah, actually not tonight, tomorrow. Tomorrow at 2 is when the Board of Supervisors will receive from the county executive his funding request.
Okay.
And then it becomes their funding request, and they have to actually balance the budget at the end of the day.
I gotcha. And that includes money for schools, money for everything.
Yeah, everything.
Everything in the county.
Everything in the county. So what I can say is that once that hits
we
the
don't
news
have
tomorrow, there will be more information. But the public has opportunities to participate in this process. So they should know
that's why they call it democracy.
They should know that on next Wednesday, February 25th, at 6 o'clock in the county office building in Lane Auditorium, is the first public hearing on this funding request. So that's an opportunity where you can come and you get 3 minutes. And, you know, you don't have to prepare remarks in advance and be all professional. All you have to do is get up and say what's on your mind.
Yeah.
About the budget. And some people think it's an obstacle for some people to come out in public and do that. But what I would want them to know is that, you know, your back's to the audience. And just think of it as, you know, you're just having a little conversation with this group of
people.
People
get nervous for that?
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's public speaking, so yeah. I think that makes people a little nervous. But I'm trying to make them less nervous by talking about it.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is walk.
Because everything would be better if more people came out and spoke
out. All you have to do is sign up
for
your name,
or against. For or against.
You walk up to the mic and you say what's on your mind.
Yeah.
And
so this first public hearing about the county budget, Albemarle County budget, will be Wednesday, February 25, 6 p.m., Lane Auditorium, County Office Building. What day of the week is that?
That's a Wednesday.
Wednesday night.
Next Wednesday. So I'll remind folks again next Tuesday when we have our show. But that's the first opportunity to get involved in the county budget process. The Board of Supervisors will start having work sessions on different parts of the budget.
Yeah.
And at those, they usually don't take public comment. Now, the other thing you can do, both with City Council and the Board of Supervisors, is send them an email, BOS, Board of Supervisors, at albemarle.org.
Yeah.
So BOS at albemarle.org. You can reach all of the supervisors at once with that one email. I know City Council has a similar address, and I'm not going to try to guess it off the top of my head, but if you went to our news center and clicked government, our local government, you could get that email address.
Okay.
So there's similar addresses, and you can send your feedback that way as well.
Interesting.
All right.
When does this have to be finalized, the county budget?
It'll be finalized in April, basically, when they set the tax rate.
Yeah. It's really difficult when 10 cents off of every dollar that comes in has to go to the city. I mean, I can only imagine how difficult that is for this local government to figure out, well, how can we pay for everything when we got to give 10 cents of every dollar to the city?
Well, but it's something they can plan on. I mean, this time last year, we knew revenue sharing was going to go up in Albemarle County, and we'd be paying more.
What is it now, you think?
Right now, in this budget, it was right around $14 million in the current year. In what's being proposed,
it's going to go up
for next year, and this is not an embargoed piece of information. It's well known that it's going to go up to about $18
million. Wow!
But in future years, you know, as it there's a lag factor, so it's catching up to past inflation in property values by going up to $18
million. Yeah.
As property values have dropped, I mean, my house went down 7%. And I know others have, you know, dropped further and others dropped a little less. But as property values drop a little bit, then the revenue sharing will go down a little bit. So it's going to go up and down, but it's something local government can plan on. I think the unfortunate thing, Coy, is that the formulas in Richmond, as we said in the previous half hour, don't reflect this issue. And the other thing I would say is
How do you say politely we're getting screwed? I mean, because really, we are. I mean, if Richmond is giving Albemarle County money and not factoring in that it's giving $18 million a year to the city, then you're getting screwed. If they're ignoring that fact and pretending like you have $18 million, so they're giving you a lot less, you're getting screwed.
Well, and the point of view from the county is that if an adjustment was made to take it into account, that Charlottesville would be held harmless. So in other words, you wouldn't fix Albemarle's problem by decreasing, you know, some allocation to Charlottesville in some other way. So because, you know, they've got a budget and a reason for having these funds as well.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. Dave Norris, the mayor of Charlottesville, and Ken Boyd, the former chairman, he was chair last year, both wrote letters in the Daily Progress in a recent Sunday edition. And the Daily Progress has started doing this, and it's quite interesting. They'll get two people with different perspectives on
things. Oh, that's
cool. And put them head-to-head on the editorial page. And
I missed that. What did they say?
Well, you know, well, no surprise. Dave Norris argued in favor of continuing revenue sharing. And Ken Boyd basically said, you know, hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about how this money's getting used and how it's being invested in our community.
Yeah, because Dave's been on this program and talked before. Number one, hey, if you want to stop it and let us expand, that's fine with me. And he's also said, number two, the county gets a lot back for that money that they pay in, because there's a lot of people in the county who take advantage of city infrastructure, which is true.
We could do a whole show on revenue sharing. Yeah. But it is what it is. It's part of the budget. And
there you go.
And, you know, I think it's a growing part of the county's budget, and so it's something to keep an eye on.
So now the something city else, budget, go ahead.
Right. Well, something else to keep an eye on is the city's budget and where that money gets spent once it gets to the city, because it comes over unencumbered. And there's no strings attached to it, so the city can do with it as it wishes. And as you look through Gary O'Connell, the city manager's information on his budget, he met with the media today, and his stuff is not embargoed, so I can tell you a couple things about the city budget. And you heard on WINA News at the bottom of the hour some of these details, but the budget proposed for the upcoming fiscal year is $127 million, give or take, a decrease of 0.23%. So that's the city of Charlottesville budget, operating budget, $127 million, and a slight decrease over the previous year. It's going to have a net reduction of 8.5 full-time positions. And no pay raises for city employees. Now, school employees, the school board in the city is expecting to give raises, so there may be a little bit of a disconnect there that they've got to reconcile, because I know in the county, the schools and local government, because they have some positions that are the same in each organization, like a secretary, maintenance staff, things like that, they want to keep commonality between the two organizations, so that you wouldn't do a job and get paid more if you work for the schools or vice versa. So the city may have to reconcile that, but that's what's currently on the table from Gary O'Connell. Now, the city council will get this funding request on March 2nd, so their first meeting in March. The first public hearing in the city is March 16th.
There you go.
That's when the public can get involved in that.
Monday evening, March 16th, 7 p.m., City Council Chambers, the first public hearing for the city budget. And update us about the local elections.
Yeah, we had a candidate do her announcement, and she is the first city council candidate to come out of the gates here.
How do you say her last name?
Zekas.
Zekas.
That's how she pronounced it.
Zekas. So the S is silent.
I went back and listened to our podcast to make sure I was saying her name properly.
But when you look at it, it's like, I could pronounce that five different ways.
Zekas.
Zekas. Kristen Zekas announced her candidacy for Charlottesville City Council.
There are two seats up on City Council. The seat's currently held by Mayor Dave Norris and Julian Taliaferro, both Democrats. Neither has announced whether they are running for re-election. Kristen Zekas has gotten out of the gates early. So the Democrats in the city recently decided, and this is covered very well in today's Seville Weekly by Will Goldsmith, talks about the city Democrats opening their nominating process. They're going from what was a convention where you had to come to Charlottesville High School, get locked in the Martin Luther King Performing Arts Center until they figured it out. Now what they're going to have is a firehouse primary where you can, during that day, stop by and register your vote. And I think they'd make allowances for like absentee ballots and things like that.
Interesting.
As well. They will also require a loyalty pledge where they will try to deter folks from the other party and independents who might try to spoil the race by picking a certain candidate. They will try to deter them by putting a piece of paper in front of them that says, if you sign this and you participate, you promise to only vote for Democrats. November.
Why would that deter them?
I don't think you can be taken to court for. How are they going to know how you vote at the end?
What if Rob Schilling walked in and said, "I want to vote in this"? Can they say no? Can they look at him and say,
if Rob Schilling walked into the firehouse primary, I think there might be some other problems, but I don't think the loyalty pledge would be one of them.
I guess they could say no.
I guess
because
they could.
It's their party's thing.
But if he was willing to sign it. Of course, then Mr. Schilling would have to explain to the public why he did that.
He signed a loyalty pledge to the Democratic Party.
Yeah. And I'm sure he could come up with a good reason. But anyway, so Kristen Zekas is out of the gates, up and running. Now, what's interesting about it is that she does not have a platform out there on some of the big issues like water, Meadow Creek Parkway, some of the other transportation issues. She's very much in a sort of listening mode, out meeting with stakeholders right now and trying to get opinions from both sides and formulate her sort of plan.
When is the primary?
It'll be on a date to be set between May 8th and June 9th.
That'll be here before you know it.
It will be.
That's just 3 or 4 months.
So she's got some work to do. But one of the things she's bringing to the table is she's saying, you know, she was very involved in the Obama campaign in Charlottesville and recruiting volunteers. And I think some of that enthusiasm from the presidential race, she wants to bring to local politics and get people involved in city council matters in our community.
Tonight's meeting, city council is meeting tonight?
They are, because yesterday was presidential holiday.
Oh, that's right.
Not a presidential
holiday.
What was
that?
I think Obama was working yesterday. It was a President's Day holiday.
Okay.
Yeah.
President's Day holiday.
Yeah, Lincoln's birthday, isn't that?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I don't know. I had to drive to Lynchburg. I don't remember.
All right. But anyway, I'm covering that meeting tonight. This starts at 7 o'clock, and they will be the important thing on their agenda is the quality of service and efficiency study, just like the one Albemarle County got. So we talked about that early in the show. The county got their study. Tonight, the city gets the results of their study.
Oh, so they're going to talk for the first time publicly about the results of their efficiency study. Interesting.
And I tried to get an advanced copy, and I was not able to get it.
So. I wonder if they need a new economic development philosophy like the county does.
I don't know. County Planning Commission is also meeting tonight. The big item on their agenda is what's known as a wood grinding or recycling facility. Remember the wood grinder down in Nelson County that got all that?
Yeah, Connie Brennan was on talking about
right.
it with the Nelson County Board of Supervisors. That was a big stink down there.
Somebody wants to put one out on 250 East in Keswick. And
good
there's
luck.
A little bit of concern
good
around
luck.
That.
I mean, if you can't do something like that in Nelson County, because there were people that raised a big fuss in Nelson County. They just thought it was too, because evidently it's like really loud.
Well, they did some sound tests already, and the sound levels were a concern. I'll just put it that way.
It's like really, really super loud.
But that'll be in front of the Planning Commission. We'll see what they say. Staff are recommending against supporting this application, but you never know what'll happen. So we'll be there to cover
it. It's a green industry.
Well,
new jobs.
Yeah, they're recycling.
Recycling.
Yeah.
Cutting up trees.
So that's what's happening tonight.
Did we do it?
Nonstop.
Did we get to the whole list?
The only thing we didn't talk about was there are two other things. Do I have time or are you going to cut me off here?
No, go for it real quick.
All right, real
like one
quick.
Minute.
This is, you're going to talk to, you said Michael Guthrie with
tomorrow,
with
yeah,
Roy
looking
Wheeler.
Forward to it. Yeah, with CAR, Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors.
And one of the things that's interesting about building permits, which, you know, if you build a house, then the realtors sell it. The building permits, they put out the data for Albemarle County, the end of the year data for 2008. There were only 418 building permits issued in Albemarle County last year. That's down 50%.
Oh my gosh.
From the previous year.
Oh, wow.
It's the lowest
Ouch.
Amount in the 12 years for which I've got data. So going back to 1997, 418 is the lowest amount in the past 12 years.
Wow. The lowest amount of new building permits in the last 12 years in Albemarle County.
And I know that isn't a surprise to people, but
no.
Well, that's the number.
We're in a bit of an economic downturn, Brian. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
Y'all have a great night. Ed Asner on the program tomorrow.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.